What's going on, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And we are back after missing a week. It's been one of those, it's been one of those years, so I don't really have to go into why we missed a week. Don't worry about it. Just know that we're back and we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. Before we get into our main topics, just want to hit up a couple of things that I thought was interesting this week. That's been going on. One of them actually happened today, and that is Twitter going down again.
Down, down.
It actually went completely down for a few. I don't think it was. I think it was less than 5 minutes. It was down completely, and then it came back up. And then ever since then, there's been people from the U.S. and the U.K. having various issues, whether it's not being able to post, not being able to some people couldn't log in, some people couldn't po like send DMs, and it varies. Like for instance, I couldn't tweet until just a few minutes ago. And what's crazy is like I went to Twitter, I was checking on something, and I went to Twitter, and like all of my tweets were deleted except for what I tweeted this month, and I was confused. I was like, what happened? So I'm like looking over. I didn't go to Google yet, but I was just kind of looking through my tweets and like. Because I could scroll through, but it wasn't letting me like search certain things. And at a certain point, I just saw like the beginning of October was the last thing that pops up, and I was like, "Huh." So I was kind of freaking out because I thought someone possibly hacked my account and is about was deleting everything so they can post some craziness. And like even my the tweets that I had that were like the tweet that I had that was pinned wasn't there anymore. So I was like, what is going on? And so I logged off and logged back on, and then all my tweets came back, and then I was like, what is going on? So I tried to tweet like, hey, does anybody know what's going on with Twitter? And then every time I would hit send, it would be like, error, you can't send anything. So I'm like, huh. And then I went and looked, and apparently that's where this big thing happened. What they're saying is that it wasn't a breach in the sense of like being hacked. There's no evidence of it being hacked like it was before or earlier this year. But still, it's like, what is going on? And so they're investigating. They've been working on it since then, giving out updates saying that, we know some people are still having issues. We're still working on it. And they were saying that everything is for the most part operational, but they're still investigating like what happened all of a sudden. So, if you're experiencing issues with Twitter, it's not you, it's not your phone. I saw some people kind of debating whether or not, they had the iPhone or, Android, and, some people getting in and some people weren't. It's not your phone. It's all Twitter. It's
It's
all
not your
Twitter.
phone, it's Twitter. And Twitter's also trending. Hashtag bye Tiffany. You can guess what that's all about.
So interesting day if you've been trying to, because a lot of people, especially now with the way things work, a lot of people get their news from Twitter. And so it kind of needs to work. As bad as that sounds, it kind of does need to work. So hopefully they kind of get a handle on, what's going on over
Yeah,
there.
that would be great.
Another thing, oh, go ahead.
No, speaking of Twitter, this morning, did you see the whole Ice Cube thing with the
Oh
Trump
God.
campaign?
Okay, so I've been talking to people about this, and some people have come to his defense. Some people are, kind of like saying like he's canceled. And I have a take, and this is coming from just kind of waiting and just kind of seeing, because people are, especially right now, people are quick to say anything and everything under the sun. Toss the baby out with the bathwater type of thing. And so I kind of wanted to see what was going down. I already had issue with Ice Cube on a couple of things, but I wanted to, I could kind of summarize how I feel about it. And that it was one of those things where he had good intentions, but he didn't do the smart thing. Because first of all, the contract is trash. Not so much what's in the contract. It's the idea that a contract made by a celebrity can speak for all black people. No. And then also, he's been called to task previously on the fact that he didn't have a lot of women contributing to the contract. It was mostly men. And so you can't have the, span the spectrum of black people and not include black women, especially black women. And so that was already like, strike one and two for me. But then, he said he reached out to the Democrats and the Republicans, and the Republicans were like, "We'll see you now." Democrats was like, "After, the election." And I totally get it why someone would think that, oh, the Republicans, bless you, the Republicans are
Thank
trying to, they want to hear me out, right? Because
you.
what he said was true in his tweet. He's like, really, no one is for us, like talking about. So I get that. The problem is that, of course, the Republicans want to come talk to you. Why? So they can use you, like they use Steve Harvey, like they use Kevin Hart, like they used I forgot the NFL guy's name. Also starred in a couple movies. I can't remember his name,
Him too.
but they like they prominent black person meets with Trump. There's a photo op, and then Trump is like, he has my support, so I need all your support. And that's really not what happened. And so we look at this, and it's like, you didn't learn anything. And granted, he might have been coming in like, hey, don't take any pictures, don't do this, do that. But the problem is that it wasn't a public forum, it wasn't in a public space. And what happens is the Trump administration can kind of twist and say whatever they want, and then you're out here struggling to defend yourself. And it looks bad. And ultimately, even if they did do it, like let's say they did it on your terms, they came to see you, you didn't go to the White House, and they agreed to listen. Do you think he's going to like adhere to anything? He's been lying nonstop before he got in office, while he's been in office, and now while he's running, he's been lying. He'll say one thing. He doesn't even give the people who the white, racist supporters who support him, he doesn't even give them everything that they want. Why do you think that he will, he'll sign some type of contract or agree to, look at any contract that you have if it isn't for publicity right now, seeing as how, they had to, they had to push back certain debates because he was sick and all this other stuff. He's not looking good out here in these streets. Like, it makes sense. Oh, Ice Cube is an extreme rebel, and he's part of the NWA, one of the founding members. Of course, he wants to speak to you. Like, so I found it as like, it's not something that I would want to cancel him for, because first of all, I think cancel culture is dumb, but also the fact that I can see the intentions and I can see why. But I also think that you didn't do enough research, or you didn't think this out, thoroughly enough with his actions previously. This is idea of like, we want to be able to work together. Cool, but you have to protect yourself. That's not in the sense that you want the right message to get out. You want the right optics. You want everything to be 100% clear, and you want to have leverage to be able to hold that person accountable. And that's not something you can do. On the flip side of this, The Rock actually is pushing Biden and Harris, and he had a private sit down with them that he recorded and he sent out as part of his promo. And while that's still political and while that's not 100% honest, it's still more honest because it showed what was said. So at the very least, we can go, you know what? Biden is lying right there. You know what I'm saying? Except for Ice Cube, where it's like we find out after the fact that you actually went and spoke to these people, and now we're playing catch up with what is actually going down. So it's a big mess, and what you wanted to happen didn't happen. And yeah, it just was, it was foolish to me. It was foolish. And I, it goes to show like celebrities aren't the people that we can lean on when it comes to change, despite having their platforms. While we have, I'll say this, for every Kaepernick we have a million other people doing the wrong thing. So, yeah, that was a bunch of trash.
There was. I'm with you. I felt I was scrolling through Twitter, which again I don't do, and I've said this on other episodes. I don't actually go through Twitter that often. It's not a
Right.
common thing for me. It happens once or maybe up to three times a week. Otherwise, I'm just not really on it. Typically, a lot of times my sister, she sends something because she's on Twitter all the time. Like, yes, that's where she gets her news. That's where she just gets her entertainment, period. And so, she sends something, then I go into the Twitterverse, I go into the Twitter hole for an hour or two or three or six or whatever. And but anyway, so I happened to hit up Twitter some reason this morning for something. I don't remember why. And then I saw the it's like a meme. It's not really a meme. It's just a photo, and it's photoshopped of him, of Ice Cube wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, what? And so, of course, I had to read further. And then I read further, and I was like, one of the comments on it was, Neil deGrasse Tyson saying something like, I can't believe this shit. Something, whatever. And then somebody's like, I had to look at it twice, and I had to read the comments, and I had to read the article to believe that this was true. And it is. I'm so sad. Like, I'm so shook. Something like that. And yeah, everything that you said, I 100% agree with. That's where I am right now. And that's where the majority of us are. Most people with sense.
Right.
Well, seriously, most people with a decent head on their shoulders feel the exact same way. We don't agree with you, Cube. Like, we don't agree that you did, that this was a good thing. Yeah, this is kind of like the same thing where, you know, other people are sitting there like, Biden, what are you going to do for us? Because we might as well just deal with what we're dealing with now if you're not going to do anything better. And I'm like, I understand what you're saying, but yo, you got to get this dude out of the White House by any means necessary at this point. People are dying. This isn't just about us. Like, yes, as the Black community, we are looking for change, and we are looking for things to be done for us, and we want to hold our candidates to task. This isn't just this situation where we're like, oh, Biden, I'm going to vote for you just because I have to. No, we've been holding him to task for a while. We have. We've been holding him to task for a while, even before he got the nomination. It was like, hey, you know, you don't necessarily deserve this nomination just because you're Joe Biden. Like, we're trying to hold you to task. And we've been doing that. And I think Black people, celebrities or whatever, have been attempting to do that with him for a while. That's a thing.
I mean, it's the fact that it's possible, right? Like, we can't do that with Trump. Mm-hmm. It's not possible.
Exactly.
He just lies and, you know, whatever. Or he just doesn't know. I'm not sure. It's all a elaborate con to keep him in a powerful position. We can't put, but it, on the other side with Biden, at the very least, we can go like, you know what? We don't like what you're doing. And he will acknowledge that.
Acknowledge it. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you know what I mean?
Just like, well, you know, you don't like what I'm doing, but you didn't like what I was doing last time. And so, but you like this now, don't you? Well, I'm going to do this if you don't. Like, come on, man. I'm going to let some Black people out of jail. Do you feel better now? And it's like, no, but thanks for letting them out of jail anyway.
That's you were way more coherent than he's ever been.
Oh, totally. Like, totally.
Seriously.
Yeah, I definitely had a real sentence going on there. He is word salad all day.
Yeah, and but it works, unfortunately. It works for him, at least with his base, because they honestly don't care. They want more of whatever it is they want, and, mm-hmm. you know, they'll jump through hoops, you know, on fire to try to make it sound like what he's saying is a good idea. And it's not. It's really bad.
And it's not. It's trash.
You know.
So, yeah. Sorry, Ice Cube. We're not with you on this. And we think that you didn't do your due diligence. And we think you did not do us a solid. And actually, everything you've done is, and this is kind of hurtful.
Yeah.
So.
And it's not something he can't come back from, but he just has to, you know, like, honestly, because he's defending himself. He's in defensive mode.
Yeah.
I think he needs to just sit with it. Just think why this wasn't a good look, why and how. Because it's real easy for, you know, I was watching Scrubs recently. Love that show.
Yeah,
and there's an episode where Turk and JD save a guy on their way to. They were like on their way to work, but they stopped by this like place to get something to eat, I think. And this guy was choking. They saved them, and they were trying to be quiet about it because they didn't want to be on TV because they were, I don't want to say they were late for work. I think they were late for work. And the news people picked it up and was like, hey, you know, you guys are heroes. And so the hospital got all this praise and all this other stuff. And at first Turk was like, cool, you know, being the Black character, he's like, cool, you know what I mean? But then eventually it started turning into, you know, how did you make it? You know, you struggled to be here and all this other stuff. And he was like, no, I'm, you know, just treat me like any other doctor for the most part. And eventually the head of the hospital started putting posters up and, you know, having like, like black sayings and all this other stuff, like basically using him as a publicity, was it not a scapegoat? What do you call it? Mascot. Using him as a mascot. And it got to one episode or one part of the episode where he's telling JD, like, yo, this is crazy. And JD's like, are you serious? Is it really that deep? And he's like, yo, he put me in the, so they have like a brochure, I guess, for the hospital. He's like, look, they put me in here. And JD's like, yeah, I'm in there too. And he's like, and Turk is like, no, they put me in here twice. Like, that's me and that's me. Like, it's just crazy. And what it's saying is that JD doesn't understand because he's like, oh, you're getting free publicity and you are seen as a hero. Whereas Turk is like, no, I'm like the token black dude. They're using my likeness to, whether it's saying that they're aware of our struggles and we're hiring, in a like diverse candidates or diverse doctors or whatever the case may be, or just to say that we're down with black folks, even though that's not the case. Like, just a whole bunch of nastiness. With it to the point where when he confronts the head of the hospital, the lawyer who's there is like, if he sues you, he will win like a lot, like a lot, because it's just bad. And even though that's it's comedic and everything, it's reflective. Trump uses black people, black pastors, black celebrities, black football players, whatever the case may be, who are misguided in what's happening. Not understanding that he's not, there's no intentions on actually doing what it is you're asking for. And what happens is you come out with, a photo op or something, a quote, blah, 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 and he doesn't speak to you anymore. But that picture or whatever is all over the news, all over social media. And now you have to go and defend yourself, like why you actually even went there. And he's like, la, 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 whatever. Shout out to Ice Cube, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, it just looks bad. He's using you. And it's gotten to the point now that we are not falling for it. I don't know if we fell for it at all, to be honest. Most black people didn't vote for this president, but it's telling. It's like, why do we keep falling for this mess? Not everybody that wants to sit down with us wants to actually sit down with us. So stop it.
Stop it.
The second thing I wanted to talk about before we get into our main topic was the fact that I'm looking at gamesindustry.biz. They reported that Microsoft and GameStop have a partnership. And they had already talked about a partnership before where I want to say GameStop will be using Microsoft's cloud service for different practices and such. Now, on the flip side, Microsoft is saying that, or actually, it's not Microsoft saying it. There was a Domo Capital Management claimed via Twitter that GameStop actually confirmed that the chain will share all downstream revenue for customers it brings into the Xbox ecosystem this generation. What that means is anybody who buys an Xbox Series S or X from any GameStop branch and take it home, when they buy digital content, whether it's a video game or it's DLC for a video game, even if that game wasn't bought from a GameStop, that they will share in the revenue with Microsoft. And that's interesting. I don't think that's actually happened before, outside of maybe, I know they share revenue in a sense of like if you buy a game directly from a store, GameStop gets, I don't want to say pennies on the dollar. I'm not exactly sure how it breaks down, but they get a little bit of money. Most of the money goes back to Microsoft or Sony or whoever. So this is really interesting, being that, this is a retailer getting money from digital content, which is really interesting. I think it's also interesting because there's no word on whether or not Sony is going to be doing this as well. This could be because of, like I said, the GameStop and Microsoft had partnered for their cloud services, and this might be a way for GameStop to kind of, Microsoft to kind of give back, I guess. It seemed like Microsoft was already helping them with the cloud services. I would assume that that's some type of paid arrangement, but yeah, that's really, really dope. Now, obviously, it incentivizes GameStop to push more Xboxes because GameStop has been they've been hurting for money for a while. So for them to be able to make money off of digital content is super, super big, and the fact that it's Microsoft means that they might push an Xbox system more so than Sony. That's interesting. I think it sucks for anybody who's working in the stores, if you're, because I worked at GameStop before and I know what it's like to have to, get reservations and all this other stuff. That might be one more thing that they have to look out for. But with that being said, I like the idea that arrangements can be made to benefit two different companies. In the sense that, because Microsoft has kind of been on this for a while with partnering with Nintendo on different things that we didn't think would ever happen, whether they have their games going over to a Nintendo platform, or there's characters joining Super Smash Brothers or whatever. Like the Minecraft character, Steve, is actually going to be in Smash Brothers with Mario and everybody else, which is a huge thing. And so this is
I
more
don't
of
even know
that.
who Steve is, but I'm sure it's
Oh.
huge.
Just think of Minecraft character. That's all you need to know. Microsoft owns the company that makes Minecraft. So having one of their big characters or, mascots or whatever on a Nintendo product is pretty big. That's not something that Sony and Nintendo will probably ever do because they have beef. But as far as they, I mean,
Long-standing beef.
they do. They are not. They throw up gang signs and when they see each other, like yeah, at
Well,
E3, it's
you better
on.
not come down this street. You better not come down. You better not come through this lane. I better not see
Exactly.
you at the local Best Buy.
Nope.
Like,
Nintendo products
sorry.
over here, you know what I'm saying? Sony products are over there.
Not Chicago.
Right, but I think it's cool in a sense. I'm not one of those people who want GameStop to go away because I think they do a solid when it comes to the secondhand market.
Exactly. They
And I
do.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was saying that that's actually why I appreciate this, because if this is a thing, this might actually represent some of the future, because we do know that people are buying digital games and you can't return digital games.
Right.
Like, we know what the digital market created. We all know that. We all, if you're listening to us or whatever, if you play games, and unless you are a child, you didn't just start playing on the latest platforms. You've been playing
Right.
games since they were cartridges. So we all know what secondhand is like. And we all knew how much money we could make off of secondhand back in the day. First of all, we needed that money. We needed that money to buy new games.
Exactly.
And some people just, their whole MO was, okay, if I spend $50 on this game, I'll play it like for 2 weeks straight, beat it, and I'll sell it. It's still new-ish, so at least I can make $30 off of it.
Yeah.
And that's how some people played games. That's how some people played as many games as they could, because they were just like, they were grinding on it. And now those people either are professional gamers or they're professional living in basements.
Right.
So there's that. But the whole idea of Microsoft helping out a brick and mortar store that makes their money off of physical things, not digital things, I think that that's actually a great idea. If I don't, I wonder who, honestly, I'm being real honest, I really wonder who came up with that idea, because that's a generous thing.
It is. It is. Because a lot of people are buying digital now, whether they know better or not. And what I mean by that is you typically don't own any of your digital content. You have a license to use it for a certain amount of time. The idea is it for it to be indefinite, but we've already seen cases where that's not the case, whether it's on iTunes, Microsoft Store in and of itself. I mean, heck, there was a I had an issue recently because the Scott Pilgrim game, I loved it when it was on the Xbox 360 and the PS3, and it Ubisoft took it down and you couldn't buy it. And for some of us, we couldn't even replay it. Like it because what happens is when you have a digital piece of, content, there has to be checks and balances. So when you go to play, it has to check online that you actually own this and you didn't steal it. And so when Ubisoft took that down, took the game down, there was no check to say that you own it. So even though you have it on your hard drive, there was no way to play it. And recently they announced, or I want to say like a month ago, they announced that the game is coming back in a remastered version. And people were all excited, but I was like, no, like I would still own the original if you didn't screw me over. So the idea that of only having digital is not cool with me. That said, I do like where this is going because if there's a possibility of a secondhand market digitally, that would also mean that you would have to own your products digitally. And I am down for that.
allowing us to have that, like, it's not just a license to operate. You know, we all do those end user licenses that come through with the games and all kind of nonsense. It's like, oh, by the way, this is yours, like yours, do whatever you want with it.
Like,
So yeah, I got the pinky finger to my face right now. Yeah, I'd appreciate that. I mean, I think it opens a lot of doors, not bad doors though. I mean, even when books started going to Kindle and Nook Kubo or whatever that reader was from that store that doesn't exist anymore, Borders.
Yeah.
When books started going to e-readers, it was like, wait a minute, but how do we loan our books? Like, how do we let our friends borrow our books, or how do we take them back to the used bookstore or those neighborhood libraries? You ever seen those?
Yeah.
The little neighborhood libraries. They look like a bird feeder or whatever, but there's books in them.
Right. Yes, I've seen those.
So it's like, well, what do? You can't just put your whole e-reader in there. and then they're like, oh, you can loan books that you've bought to friends for 2 weeks if you have the same e-reader or something like that. And it was like, oh, okay. And then they created this whole thing where you could check out e-books from the library on your e-reader software. And I was like, oh, okay. So, you know, this is pretty decent. And I know they did that with the digital games, right? You can loan a digital game to somebody else who has the same system, right?
You can't. You can. They have a family situation. Like, for instance, on Steam or PC, if you both sign up and you both log on to the same computer, what happens is, after you trade your information, me and you are on the same family thing. If I own a game and you want to play, you can download and play it. The only catch is, if I try to play it, it cuts you off. It gives you like 5 minutes to like save your game and get off. So we can't play at the same time. We can't play cooperatively.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, you get like a little bit of a demo until I want to come play. Cause it kind of promotes you to buy it yourself. It's still a dope feature. As long as I'm not playing that particular game, you can play the whole thing.
Yeah.
So there are some leeway here and there in certain places, but for the most part, Steam could go down and we could lose all of our content because we don't own it. And that kind of sucks. And so hopefully these type of things will be, you know, seen as a positive thing. I don't know how fair that is in terms of, like, you know, capitalism, you know, versus Sony and Nintendo. However, I think that on the consumer side of things, it might actually be a good thing. So, and that was just something recent we wanted to talk about, because they were interesting, some interesting happenings going on around the world.
That's interesting.
Definitely. So one of the main topics we wanted to talk about is the rebooting of popular series, whether it's cartoons, whether it's TV shows. We know movies get remade all the freaking time.
All the time.
And, you know, why this is a cool thing, why it isn't a cool thing, and what things do we want to see be remade. And this kind of came to my attention because of two things. One was the remake of The Witches that's coming to HBO.
Oh, cool.
And the other was the remake of Animaniacs, which is going to Hulu. The Animaniacs caught my attention because there was a really funny promo trailer that was in the vein of Jurassic Park. You guys got to check that out, where it's talking about it's basically treating the Animaniacs like dinosaurs. Like, you know, they're, I can't believe they did it. You know, I can't believe they were able to bring them back to life and all this other stuff. It's tongue in cheek, and it's very meta in the sense of, you know, it being Warner Brothers and all this other stuff. So I was pleased and looking forward to checking this show out, even though I don't have Hulu. But then with the idea of remaking things, there's always the idea of, like, is this a good idea in terms of, I don't know, people love to say, like, you're ruining our childhood. I don't think that's a thing. Like, your childhood is fine. Like, just go get the originals if that's the case. You know what I mean?
Now that we can. Remember, we couldn't for a while.
Facts. That's facts. But that it's one of those things where, like, things change, things evolve. Heck, some of the things that we like as children were remakes. We just didn't know it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so
that's true.
I wasn't, you know, there's a lot of people who weren't, you know, kind of happy. And some of it was the fact that they like what they like. A lot of people were excited, but there's some people who were like, you know what? It's not going to be like the original. I get it. I see the new Looney Tunes, and I don't know how I feel about it. That said, some people were upset because it seems like the creators and the original writers aren't a part of it.
Exactly. The whole writing team is gone. That's
Yeah.
not okay.
And so like the creator, Tom, and I can't pronounce his last name.
I'm gonna say Ruger.
Ruger, let's go with Ruger. So Tom Ruger, no offense, apparently isn't a part of it. And Nate Ruger, I believe is his son, Joe or his brother, I'm not sure which one.
I think it's a
I think
sign.
it's his son, was saying that, he felt the kind of way that, Tom wasn't a part of it. The original creative team isn't a part of the show, but the show joked about making more money than before. And Tom retweeted it. So apparently he
Yeah.
agrees with that sentiment. And then some other people were saying like it's absurd that he's not involved anymore. He created something special. This is from Adam Cole. So like people weren't feeling they were feeling a way about it. And so I get it in that sense. But what I want
Yeah.
to know is what happened?
Exactly.
Like no one is saying it, why the original team isn't involved.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes, no one seems to be against the show being rebooted. Tom, it's
Right.
not like Tom came out and said, you should never reboot the show. It was a classic. I've seen that in different
Yeah.
places with different shows, but that didn't seem to be the case. So
Yeah.
it
So
seems like.
unless he's like a closet racist or something, I want to know what's going on here.
Right. Like, was it money? Like, was the deal like, bringing everybody back would just cost too much? We don't know if it's going to be a good look, or did we just want to go with someone else,
I don't know.
to make Animaniacs? Like, I don't know. I don't know
I
what
don't know.
happened.
I don't know either. I really want to know the tea because this seems like there's some real tea going on here and not the tea that I'm sipping right now because that's honestly bland. I want some real Animaniacs Warner Brothers tea. I need to know. My life
Right.
needs to be a little bit more interesting. So somebody needs to let me know so we can let y'all know. I just need to know. And I need to know. I need tea that's not political. You know?
Right.
I want to hear what's going down. You got all the original voice actors, so we don't have to worry about Yakko sounding differently. Dot's gonna be just as adorable as ever. Like, I mean,
Right,
Wacko
like
is always my favorite. So Wacko. I was like, if they changed Wacko's voice, then you can just throw the whole project in the can. He's the best.
Yeah, like it just makes sense. Get everybody back. And
Yeah.
it's not to say that that I can see it being like maybe creative differences if the original people wanted it to stay a certain way and the studio wants it to kind of evolve or be this modern thing or vice versa. They're also saying that they're bringing back Pinky and the Brain. So,
They have to.
that's pretty cool, but I don't know how good it's gonna be now. Like with the original writers not there. Like I don't know. I think the promo was dope, but as far as like overall, I'm kind of like, I don't know. I need to see this first episode to kind of see, and I on one hand, I kind of stand with the original creators, in the fact that I kind of want them involved. On the other, I don't really have a horse in this race because I don't. Well, here's the thing, right? I don't know what's going on, so I don't know if it's something like somebody wanted more money than could, what was being offered, or because at the end of the day, when you create something, even though this, however people might feel, when you create something for a studio, that is not, that's no longer yours. That's just something that we saw like in comic books all the time, where someone creates something, a Stan Lee or whoever creates a character, and they put everything into that character, and then Marvel's like, that's ours, right? Like you created that here. We introduced him in our book. That's our thing now. And so while, and in certain aspects, we want you to steer the ship. We definitely want you to steer the ship. Build up the lore and all this other stuff about who Peter Parker is supposed to be. But at the end of the day, it's our Spider-Man. So if we choose to go a different route, unfortunately, that's what you signed up for.
Is Unless you get some stuff in writing that says these are my characters and you can't do anything without me. Bye-bye.
Exactly, because and then you look at on the studio side of things, if someone was to take their creation and it go to like, you know, they took Spider-Man and went to DC. Spider-Man is one of their most, you know, outside of like Spider-Man, X-Men, they sell a lot of books, a lot of merchandise. It wouldn't make sense for them to let you take him to DC.
Of course not.
You know what
I mean? There's even a boy off of that Japanese show Terrace House who wants to be Spider-Man. I mean, that's how serious Spider-Man is. That's how wide of I'm sorry. I really shouldn't be of Ruka.
Fam, there's a whole Spider-Man show, or there was a whole Spider-Man show in Japan where he had mechs and like, you know, like the whole Power Ranger bit, but it was Spider-Man. Like, that's how huge.
That's awesome.
It, to the point where they took that Spider-Man and, you know, they did like, this is like nerd stuff, but they did this multiverse with the other Spider-Mans, and they introduced that particular Spider-Man from the old Japanese show into the comics. That's how big of a thing it is. So my point is not so much that I'm rooting for the studio and to say that they should be able to do whatever they want with their creations. I'm not saying that. I don't think you should screw over the original people, because without them, you wouldn't have the awesome stuff that you have.
Yeah.
At the same time, you can't expect to keep it unless you put something into writing, or the studio is just nice enough to allow you to do A, B, and C. And that's why it would be nice to hear a little bit more, because if the studio did something underhanded, I have no problem not watching. Like,
exactly.
I don't want to subscribe to another thing anyway, so I have no problem. You know what I mean? Like, I got no problem. But if it's something where it was kind of a dispute and they just couldn't see eye to eye, then I can justify myself, you know, watching the show.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I hear you. I would love to know what tea went down. I want to know all the tea. I want to know all the shade. And we'll figure it out from there. I mean, if they feel like, again, we don't know. So I hope that the new stuff is good and great, you know, because there's a lot. There's so much topics to cover. Like, it's a whole new world. The show is like 20 years old. There's a whole new world out there. Pinky and the Brain are going to be dope. They have so much to talk about. Really. Like, there's so many. I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe some of the people from SNL are going to work on it. Who knows? But there's so much content. There's so much out there now that could be used for any of these reboot cartoons. So I'm looking forward to it. But I do want to know what went down, because that would help us better understand what really is the deal here.
Exactly. And you know, it's hard to because the fans are the fans, and they're gonna do what they're gonna do. But it's always hard when you put yourself in the shoes of whoever, because you don't know what's going on. We only know a little bitty bit. You know, like the Venture Brothers recently was, you know, they were in the making of or in the working on their next season, and it got canceled by Culture Network. And so it's like my whole thought was like, please Netflix pick them up. But on the flip side, it's like, what happened? And no one is saying. They said it was like, you know, they made a statement saying, unfortunately, we're going to, you know, do whatever. And it could be because of the coronavirus, things of that nature. We don't know. But there was a lot of people upset with Cartoon Network. And it's like, you don't know. Like, at the end of the day, this is a business. And if they're not able to sustain, you know, or be profitable during this situation, they might have to start cutting stuff. And it's unfortunate that, you know, because I think Venture Brothers is one of their best shows, period. That kind of sucks. You know what I mean? So it's like, as a fan, it's like you want to root for the creators, you want to root for whoever, and at the same time, you don't exactly know what's going down. So I'm not going to get worked up just yet. I'm going to wait, and I'm going to see what's what. That said, though, it got me thinking before about what we want to see, you know, be rebooted, and I don't know if this, like, we kind of talked off air about what we wanted to see, and I don't know if this is fair, because they kind of had... They had their shot a couple times, but I want the Tick to come back.
Totally,
you know,
back.
I heard that I didn't get a chance to watch the show, but I heard it was good, and I want that, and I want the animated show to come back. I think especially with how the world is post like superhero films, there's so much. You know, the comedy that can be, you know, and satire that can be pulled from that right now, that I think the Tick would be great. Like,
Yes.
really, really good writing. And, you know, it doesn't even have to be animated all that well. Just get a, like, if it looked like Archer, I'm down. That's
And that's easy animation. They draw those joints on a computer, and that's literally it.
right. And I can't say on how easy it is, because I'm pretty sure it's a lot of hard work. It's not, you
It is
know,
hard work.
but it doesn't have to be like this super pristine, like, you know, Studio Ghibli type animation. Like, just do something that it looks decent and it's funny. That's all I want, and I will
Yes.
rock with it. That's I really want another Tick show.
Yeah, I'm totally down for it. I am to the Tick is so funny. I mean, the cartoon was hilarious, and we know when we were young and it was still funny. It wasn't, you know, like X-Men was serious, but the Tick was completely just out of this world. We're like, what is this? And like, obviously my brother was older than me, so he got it more than I did, but I just thought it was so funny, and I didn't know what the heck was happening half the time. I was just like, what is wrong with this guy? He's supposed to be a superhero. Like, what is wrong with him? And then I actually was watching the live version,
Yeah.
and I was in tears. I feel like this show is just before its time. Like, a lot of people really weren't ready for this. They just and or not like they weren't ready for it, but they just didn't pay attention. It kind of just like
Right.
I feel like some people like obviously I think some of the major audience of that show was probably the people who knew about the cartoon. And we're like, whoa, wait a minute, what? And I didn't even know it was out until like way into the end of the first season or something like I didn't even know it existed. I mean, we talked about this on another cast, but I feel like some of the other viewers that got onto it were just the viewers who happened to watch that particular channel. You know, some people just kind of have a favorite channel. It's like, okay, some people
Yeah.
like NBC, some people like ABC, and so they just ended up watching it because it was on that channel. And so I really feel like that's the way it was. But I was watching it recently, maybe a couple months ago, probably like when I guess when we talked about it on another show. And I was like, oh my God, this show is hilarious. It is. It's hilarious. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. Like everything that happens is ridiculously dumb. And it's like, God, this is funny. Not just like not out of whack funny, like just, oh, this shouldn't ever happen on a show. Like, no, it is funny. It's good humor. And so I would love it if either came back. I do not care. If either of them came back, I would be so happy. I would also be happy if X-Men came back.
I can see X-Men coming back, especially with if they introduce them to the MCU, like they're planning on doing. The fact that
Yeah.
Disney Plus is booming, I can see them adding a new show that's like exclusive to Disney Plus. But yeah, I think the Tick could do it. And you know, it's like Archer before Archer. It's like Venture Brothers before the Venture Brothers. Before there was like an adult lean on it on this type of comedy. It was that. Where they make fun of this world that people kind of take too seriously, and I think it would be perfect, especially if they brought like modern sentiments. You know, I can see. Can you imagine the Tick on Twitter? Like,
I know.
that's
I
nuts.
know. He would
That's.
say the dumbest things, and we would have to laugh because it would be like, wait a minute, what? Like what? Like he would be like, I'm sorry, this tweet was terribly written, but I just realize I'm a tick and I don't have thumbs. Something stupid. And then like he'll retweet, he'll like tweet later and be like, I do have thumbs. How did I manage to get this tweet out if I didn't? Like he would say stupid things.
It would be great, or rather, it would probably be him trying to talk to people in real time, like him tweeting hello, like that'd be great, and like his sidekick Mothman being like, "That's not, dude, that's not how this works. That's
Not how
not,
this works.
it's not how any of this works. Like, stop it." Oh man, so yeah, I would love to see that. I would also like to see a reboot of the Gargoyles.
Oh yeah, Gargoyles were bomb.
I think that would be cool. I heard Jordan Peele is supposedly making a film.
Oh,
A
I'm
film.
sure he's making a film. He always makes a film.
Yeah, a film version of it. Which is, I'm down for that as well. But yeah, I would like to see, or not even like a reboot necessarily, like a continuation of the story would be cool because then we would get new characters along with the older ones and we could kind of like branch off into this new thing, as opposed to like just, you know, just redoing everything. But that would be really cool. You know, you got to get Keith David back. to voice Goliath, get the old voice people back, get the old writers back if it's possible, and like redo this cartoon. I think that Disney already reboots everything it owns, so
Yeah, they do.
it just makes sense to do that. And I would be down. That would be a reason for me to keep. I mean, granted, I'm going to keep Disney Plus because I like it. It's
Yeah.
a great family streaming service. However, that would be my incentive, like, to get these things, these new type of, because reboots aren't always bad. I
Yeah.
think about some of the remade films that I like, and which ones that stand out and which ones aren't horrible. Granted, there are cash grabs out there, but for the most
Yeah.
part, there's some really good stuff being remade. And I think that even if it's just like the original creator came back and he was like, you know what, we didn't have the technology.
Yeah,
We
like Star Wars.
didn't have, yeah, we didn't have the means. We couldn't build the Million Dollar Man back then. But we can do it now. We can do it
Yeah.
now, So that would be interesting. There's a lot of cartoons, and we would spend all day listing them.
We would.
One cartoon that we don't necessarily want to see remade, we want to see the end of, is Attack on Titan.
Yes,
I know I
please
said cartoon.
don't.
I know it's an anime. Just follow me.
Bear with.
Attack on Titan's final season is coming up in December, and we are looking forward to it. The impending doom that's coming, because we know it's gonna be bad. Attack on Titan, not bad as in the show is bad, but bad as in it's not gonna be a positive, happy ending. Like,
Yeah.
nothing about this show says positive, happy
Yeah.
ending.
No.
But we're ready for the story to be, to kind of come to a close. However, one of us seems to be ready more so than the other, based on what she read in the manga. So if you can enlighten us, people who haven't read the manga, on why is it that you're ready for this to come to a close, this show.
I just have to say, with all of my heart and all of my wishes, the universe, please grant like freedom for my soul, because I feel like I've been prisoner to this monstrosity since 2015. It is not fair. I want my life back. I just want this to be done and over with. You know how people were like, okay, is Naruto going to be done yet? I mean, people were like, is Bleach over? Like, what is going on? Why are they putting us through this? Like, let the kid leave Soul Society as a human. I don't know what else you want from me. Like, as a reader, as a viewer and a reader of this monstrosity called Attack on Titan, I just need it to finish so I can move on with my life. But I have said multiple times, as we've talked about Attack on Titan, on different instances, that there have been times in the manga where the manga is so bad, it's so bad that you want to throw whatever device you're reading it on. You're just, I'll just say for me, I'm sitting there reading Eren, like, are you really this bad of an individual? Like, are you really this? Not detestable, but you are so unlikable and you're the main character. Like, I really have no reason to like you. You're annoying. And there are times when you're just like, I cannot be like, I don't understand how Mikasa just blindly follows you around or always wants to. I can't. Like, Mikasa is such a badass. She's so freaking awesome. And sometimes I'm just sitting there like, do you like this dude? What's for Horseface's name? Horseface. Jean, you know how he likes Mikasa and everything, right?
Right.
And he can't get over the fact that she follows Eren around like a puppy. And I'm like, yo, I'm with Jean on this.
Well, I mean, he did save her life once, so.
He did. He saved her life when she was a child. And then as you get further on into the manga, you actually learn a little bit more as to why she follows him around. So it makes it a little bit more acceptable
Right.
because there is an actual biological reason why she follows him around. And it's not just the PTSD.
Right.
And I honestly, I'm like, okay, you know what? When that actually gets revealed in the manga, it's one of those moments where, again, you want to throw the device that you're reading on. For me, that's my 15-pound laptop. Throwing it may injure not only my dog, but it may put a hole in the floor. So I'm not going to do that.
But I just, like, I read that and I'm like, seriously? Seriously, dude? Like, this is what you wrote? You wrote this? This is, oh, come on. I can't. It was already bad enough when they were saying, oh, the blood of this family can make everybody forget. So you remember that, you know?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, yeah, if you have this bloodline, then you have the power to make all the population not remember stuff. And I was like, oh, my God, it was enough to have giant monsters running around. That is actually not so unbelievable. That I can grasp because it's the premise of the show. You know what I mean? You know how some shows, the universe is this. In this universe, in the X-Men universe, people have mutant powers. So you have to accept it because that's the fabric of that show's universe. So in this one, I accept the fabric of this is that there's this ability to create these giant humans, these giant mindless human-eating humans. Okay? Like, I can accept that. You told me that that was the gospel, and I'm accepting it as the truth. All right? But when they started putting things in like that, they started, you know, oh yeah, well, this bloodline controls the human thought. And I'm like, okay, we're just getting dumber. You've got to come out with some better story twist to make me be like, oh my God, this is dope. I'm not doped out. Like I'm literally like, yo, this is enough. This is enough drugs. I don't want this anymore. I don't. I don't like this trip I'm on. I want off.
Oh my gosh. Did they do the manga had an intervention with you? It was like, yo, like, I need you to not take this anymore.
The manga was just straight up like, hey, you know, there's a lot of people out here addicted to us. You seem to be like one of the people who wants to wean yourself off. We're going to help you by just giving you some more dumb pages.
Oh, goodness.
I'm just saying, and the thing is, and I have to say, the show does the manga justice. It
he was like it's better, like he was able to fix a lot of things from the manga in the show.
Yeah, and that's how you know you've done well. It's serious. That's how you know you've done well, because there are a lot of times when you read a manga and you're like, yo, this is dope, and then you see the show and you're like, yo, this is trash, or the movie, you're like, this is trash.
Right.
Sometimes that working hard on that visualization after you have the canon, you can come up with something brilliant. I think a good example is that one episode of Game of Thrones where they had Tywin Lannister and Arya Stark in the same, you know, area, like, and her going through that whole kind of trickery to not let him know that she was Arya Stark.
Yeah.
Whereas in the book, it's different. She spends more time with Roose Bolton than she spends with Tywin Lannister. Her time with Tywin Lannister is shorter. And so George Martin actually said that he thought that the way they did it in the show was brilliant compared to the way he wrote it in the book. So yeah, sometimes the show can give you like brilliance. And in the, oh my God, I'm telling you, in like season two of Attack on Titan, season two had some really trash canon to go off of. and if some, because I know some people are like, oh, I didn't like season two of it. I'm like, okay. You didn't read the manga.
Yeah, it could have been so much worse, right?
It was bad. It was just bad. Like I feel like maybe I'm being a little bit harder on it because I'm just at that point where I'm just tired. But like I think I stopped reading the manga. I haven't caught up since sometime this summer. Probably because I started working again. I just haven't had time to go back and read it. So maybe I haven't read since like June. It's once a month. You know, the manga gets released once a month. And yeah, so I haven't picked up. But it's very close to the end. But the funny thing is, every time you think the end is coming, you're like, okay, you're reading it and you're like, all right, the end should probably be in the next two issues. Yeah, we thought that in like December of last year. We thought that in June of last year. That the end was going to be like in the next two episodes, the next two issues. Dude, I haven't checked. Maybe it's already done and I'm just talking smack right now, but I haven't picked it up. I haven't read since at some point this summer. So I don't know if they finished it or not. I'm pretty sure it's not finished because the internets would have told us already.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, they would definitely have said something, being that, you know, they're still talking about the show. And that's kind of like, anime and manga in general where it just keeps going. Like, the
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Super show ended, but the manga's still going. But the thing
Well.
is that what makes it kind of rough here is that they kind of alluded to the fact that this is it. Like, we're getting to the
Yeah.
end. Same thing with the show. Like, this is the last thing we're gonna do. This is a one and done type of thing. And so when you kind of come out with that, initially, that's what people want.
Yeah.
And as far as the show goes, I'm loving the fact that it's only four seasons. That's a solid amount of,
Yeah.
content that it doesn't feel too short, doesn't feel too long. But apparently the manga is not,
There are some good, there are sometimes when it's good and you're like, oh, that was dope. I'm gonna make sure that I skip the next 3 months just so that I can read them all together. You know, so I don't like
Right.
read 20 pages and then I'm like, oh. But like honestly, for the last year, I'm just gonna put it out there, like the last year, I've been w wishing that the final episode was the next, I mean the final issue was the next one that I read. I've honestly, I'm just like, just end already. Just end. You're dragging, you're like killing people, but you're not. Like I was sure this person is dead. Apparently they're not dead. You killed a bunch of other people, and now you want to make kumbaya with a bunch of other people. And I'm like, dude, just get it done. Like, tell us the story or not. The seriously, tell us the story or not. Are you making a parallel to the to Germans and Jews in World War II or not? What are you doing? Are you making parallels to the fact that people have been mistreated over time, people have been treated as slaves and the sins of the father or not? What are you doing? Make the point clear. I want this done. I'm being honest. Like it was so much better when we were in the dark, when we were trying to figure out who the Titans were.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I can
You
see
know?
that.
Once you figure everything out, you're like, okay, all these Titans, this and the other. And now it's just like, what is this? A battle of races? Who, what is, I'm just trying to figure this out. Who's the bad guy? Okay, we don't know who the bad guy is. Okay, fine. I get that. I understand that what they're where they're trying to go is we don't really know who the bad guy is. Like that's one of the purposes of this. They want to kind of come to this point where we don't know who the bad guy is because we were born on the side of Eren and everybody in the walls. We were born into their side. That's how the story started. And then you get
Which
to this
was
point where
dope.
you realize, which is totally dope, totally dope. And then you get to this other side where you're like, oh crap. Because you know the villain changes. The villain's not just these Titans. Now the villain is these other people who live outside the wall. And you're like, okay,
Right.
great. They're controlling Titans, or it was their they are the ones who put the Titans here, da da da, whatever. Fine. Now we know we have a new enemy. And then now you're getting towards the end where you're like, you don't really, there is no enemy. Everybody is the enemy. And not in a good way. Not in a way where it's like, oh, everybody's like you don't. Your heart can only be with the people who are originally in the story.
Right.
You're always going to be with them because they you started with them. You started with these 12-year-old kids. And you're going to move forward in all of the people that you grow to love and then lose, you know, whatever, blah blah blah. But there are all these other actors that come into the story, and whether you like them or not, whether you sided with their feelings or not, it's a big clusterfuck. It's supposed to be. And I get it. How'd you mean to say that? I get it. It's a clusterfuck because you don't know. You're like, wait a minute. But these people are they started this war because of this, and then these people were fighting back because of this. And okay, I get it. We don't. You really don't have any alliances except with the main characters. But that's also the lesson. The lesson is also that you can be blinded by your own ignorances or by your own prejudices because of how you were brought up. And so, you know, you somebody that you may believe is the enemy, you believe is the enemy this whole time, has their reasons for being a certain way or da da da. So I know that the story is trying to teach you that, but I also think that it doesn't necessarily do it greatly, especially in the kind of climate even that we're in right now.
Yeah.
And so and it, you know, and that could also be cultural, like that could be something that you know, I might look at differently as a Black American woman than maybe the author thinks. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
anybody, in any part of the world may take it differently because of their own experiences or their own knowledge. But that's where the story goes, and it goes to this point, and I'm just like, it's just dragging, and it's like it's just confusing because it's not in a good, I personally just don't feel like it's a good way. Like, my feelings are stretched thin. Would you just destroy the world already?
Just get it over with.
Get it over with. And then what do you want? Like, does Mikasa get her happy ending and get to be with this guy? Like, or not, you know? Or does Hanji, my favorite person, does mad scientist Hanji get her lab underground that she can test Titans with for the rest of her life? You know what I mean? Does what's his face? Clean boy. Does he get to live in a pristine house where he gets to wear a scarf on his head and sweep all day? What is Levi?
Levi.
You know, does what's his face come back to life? My favorite guy who's dead. You know, the captain.
I mean, you want to get to, similar to, you know, like Game of Thrones, like you want to get to, all right, we've been here for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not so much that, because here's the thing, right? Things can be stretched out if it's interesting. If what's happening actually adds, you know, a nice wrinkle to the story, then yeah, we can continue. Like when I got to season 3 of Attack on Titan, I was like, you know what, this could actually end. Like, this could end. But then you learn about where the Titans come from, or at the very least, you learn a little bit of where the Titans come from and how they're tied to certain characters. You're like, oh, yes, okay, it makes sense to have another season. But if your season comes about and it's like, you know, you're watching or whatever, and you're feeling like, you know what, this didn't really need to be stretched out this far. Like, the character building isn't really there. We don't need to know these intricate details. Like, it feels more like filler. At that point, it's like, all right, now I don't want to go on for forever. I just want it to end. And interesting, like, enough, that's how I feel about most anime, in a sense. Except for, there's a few. Like, for instance, you know, like I said, I still watch One Piece. And somehow, the author has written it in such a way that everything that has ever happened in the series is being pulled forward. And in such a good way that even though I feel like it's way too freaking long, I feel like my time is being paid off. Because when things actually happen in One Piece, it's like, I'm vindicated. Like, yes, finally, you spoke on this and it ended, you know, this saga or whatever ended in such a good way that I'm hooked again. You know what I mean? And so with that show, you know, or that manga, you know, the author was saying that it'll be done in like 5 years. I'm actually looking forward to that because he has done a good job of wrapping everything up every time. And like pulling, like you would see a character and you're like, you know, I guess we kind of left that character back in season 1, and in season like 30, that person pops up and it actually makes sense. And it's like, wow, like you did an amazing, how did you write this? Like, how?
Carefully.
You know what I mean? And so if it's like that, I think it's a little bit more reasonable. At the same time, I can't imagine reading it one at a time. Like when I was watching One Piece, I started late. And so I binge watched all the way up to like episode 900. And, you know, it took me like 2 years to get up to that point. And it was much better than watching it week by week or month by month, or, you know, when they take their, you know, their breaks or whatever, and they come back. It's hard because I can imagine like an episode where I'm like, I have no idea what the heck just happened. I can watch the episode right away. The next one. Whereas previously it was like, you know, I'm watching Fire Force right now, and I'm waiting for stuff to click, and I'm like, oh, I gotta wait a whole another week, and just tell me what happens, because it's not, I feel like anime, and maybe manga, because I haven't read a whole lot, but I feel like they end in such abrupt, bad places. It's not like the good cliffhangers, it's like, why would you end here type stuff, and because of that, it makes it a drag until you get all the information. And it could be that way for Attack on Titan 2, but what you're telling me is, like, they're not doing that. It feels like more filler, or it feels like they're just dragging things out because they don't want to end it. And that's never a good look.
Yeah, it's almost like it's like the author and maybe the team, you know, because people got to take ideas from other people.
Right.
Like, it's almost like they're like, hey, I had all of these ideas and maybe we can find places for them in the end. What? Like, that's that goes against the principles of writing stories. They taught us how to write stories like in you don't add more information in the falling action. It's literally called falling action. You have you have a beginning, rising action, climax, falling action, conclusion. Okay? Stop putting more info and new conflicts in the end. You're supposed to be on your way to the end. You can't conclude the story if you're just making more stuff.
So it's basically like the guy, like if you go to a restaurant and everyone's, you know, eating their food and they finish and everybody's getting ready to pay. And then one person's like, can I order the souffle or something? And it's like, it's a dessert that takes like 9 hours to make. And everyone's like, I just want to go home.
They're like, yo, I thought, yeah, your birthday was yesterday. Like it's yo, dude, it's 4 a.m. The party ended at midnight. Your birthday ended at midnight. Literally, it's a Wednesday. We all got to go to work. Why are we still here, young?
Yes, like don't order the steak now. Like you should have did that in the beginning.
Like, hey, you know this sous vide about to take 45 minutes to cook, right? You know that, right?
That's not like I'm about to leave you by yourself. You got money for an Uber?
You're like, you about to walk home. Uber's all stopping this area at 11:30.
Facts. Like
I'm gonna need Hajime Seiya to get it together. I'm really, really need to get it together. Just because I'm so done. Like I can't. I don't have any more energy anymore. And I'll be honest with you. So I go on Kiss Manga to read. Maybe I shouldn't say that out loud, but like I do. Gonna be like one more site that gets shut down. Like I be reading stuff there because you know it's free. And I'll like get there and then I'll start reading it and then I'll be like, why did I do this again? So like I found myself looking for other manga and I haven't done that in a long time. Well, first of all, I haven't actually read anything for months. I just haven't had time, you know, like work has just been so crazy for me. I barely have time for us to get on and do this.
Right.
You know? So it's like I really, really have not. Hey, Hermione, stop licking my sweaters. This is what my dog does. This is what she does.
It's so
stop
random.
Licking my sweaters. But I will go and I'll look for Attack on Titan and then I will, you know, get ready to read. And then like I'm excited to read, you know, because I'm hoping it's the end. And then next thing I know, I'm like, I don't want to do this. And then I'll look for something else. Like I caught myself being like, hey, remember Berserk ended at here. So let me go and look at this. And then, or I'm like, what was that manga that I was reading a long time ago? Like, what was it? I'll be like, oh yeah, I never did finish the new Fruits Basket. Like they continued on with Fruits Basket. Or I never, ever, ever finished His and Her Circumstances. So I'm like going and looking at His and Her Circumstances, something that came out like 20 years ago. Man. I am sitting there trying to read so that I don't read Attack on Titan and won't be sorely disappointed. There's a problem there.
Yeah, it's really different in the sense that, like, I understand, like, comic books, you know, like Batman, like, this, it's going to go on forever. But at the very least, they get to a point where you can actually just stop reading. There's a point where they'll have an arc, something huge will happen, and then it'll be like, this particular arc is done. We know Batman's coming back. We know he's going to have a new book, a new volume one. That always happens. Mm-hmm. But it's done. You can just stop if you want.
Yeah.
Whereas manga is like, oh God, it's never. We're just going to keep fighting people, aren't we? We're just going to keep. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Why did Inuyasha get 17 more powers to his sword? That is why that one episode. It was in the manga. God, I love Rumiko Takahashi. But like, so Shomaru straight up says, and he says it so well. Like, Ken Narita, the guy who does the Shomaru's voice, and obviously the writers did well too, but I love the way he says it. Like, he says it to Inuyasha, like, what did you do? What, like, I forgot the words, but something like, so you've done something disgusting to your sword again. And it was almost like he got an STD. Like, the way he says it is so, like, raw, like, because it all Inuyasha kept doing was absorbing new powers for the sword. And it was like, after some point in time, I was like, yo, I love Inuyasha. That's one of my favorites. But dang, it needed to end because all it was about him getting a new power for his sword. There was no more character development. There was nobody else to fall in love with anybody else. Like, I mean, as we say, you know, Sesshomaru still had a whole story, and I still think it was a missed opportunity that I wasn't involved in the show or the cartoon, the manga in any way. And yet I digress. But there was no more, no one else had more story. And the only thing that kept going on was more villains coming out of Naraku's back and the sword getting stronger. And that's really, really it. And come on, Kagome needed to, like Inuyasha took 9 million years and it really only takes place over 1 year.
I mean, like, it's goofy. And it's because the whole problem, it's not built as a story that could just continue. It's not a regular, it's not The Tick. It's not, you know, you know, G.I. Joe. We're like, you know, this is just a day in their life. No, there's this overarching story that you're hinted at in the beginning, and then you're hinted at throughout the major arcs that is like, hey, there's an ending coming. That's basically what it's saying. You know, that, you know, with this new Baruto series, it starts with Naruto being missing and his son fighting like this super powerful person. So the whole time we're getting to that scene. That's what we're doing. All these seasons are going to that scene. So you've already told me that there's an end spot. If you didn't do that, I would be okay. Like, yeah, this is going to go forever. I'll watch it. It doesn't matter which episode I catch. I don't have to watch every episode. Right. You know. But no, you told me that this is supposed to end. So freaking end it?
Yes. Follow through with your promise.
Right.
You have a contract that you created with the viewer on the first episode in the first issue. You have a contract. You are violating that contract. I demand my money back. And since I didn't pay for it, I demand my years back. But since you're not the Sandman, I don't think that's going to happen. I demand retribution. I demand reparations.
Oh my God. I need my time back.
I'm just saying, I need something because the social contract has been broken.
You lied.
I need something, and they need, otherwise they need to deliver on their end of the bargain, which was providing an ending worthy of the 5 years that I've spent toiling over this nonsense. And with that, I close.
Yeah. That's a segue to us ending the show. You should end things when it's proper in time. You should end them.
Mm-hmm.
This has been our show for this week. Thanks for checking it out. Feel free to subscribe, hit that notification bell. Share it with your friends, your enemies, people you barely talk to, people who like anime. You know, please do. You know, eventually, like I said, we're going to be on, I'm not sure what platforms just yet, but those, you know, like Spotify, iTunes, that sort of thing, will eventually be there. But for right now, we're on YouTube, so definitely hit the subscribe button if you like what you heard. Also, give us a comment on things that you want us to talk about, things that you found interesting. And you can follow us on the socials. They're down in the you know, in the deets and whatnot. Definitely check that out so you can, you know, be abreast of all the information that's coming your way. There's a lot of stuff going up. Before I close, though, I do want to talk about real quick, since it's October and, you know, Halloween. I did get to watch The Haunting of Bly Manor on Netflix. And if you saw the original, the previous Haunting last year, I forgot what place it was, but that was really good from last year. So it's the same creators made a new one, but it's a whole new cast, whole new place. And it's one of the best shows on Netflix. It's only 9 episodes, and it's easily one of the best shows Netflix has right now. However, as a ghost story, it is one of the most boringest ghost stories in the history of ghost stories. Like,
okay,
if you're if you're on the fence because you're like, I'm gonna be afraid, you won't be afraid. There are some jump scares that are really good. Even for me, a big horror fan, there are some really good jump scares. But for the most part, because each episode is about an hour or some change, maybe a little bit less. Most of it is just really good storytelling that moves. It moves at a proper pace, but it's slow enough that you could fall asleep. And you might be wondering, like, why are you saying that we should watch it then? Well, I'm saying it because that at the end, the final episode and the way it wraps everything up is done so freaking well that all of your time spent was worth it.
Oh, good.
The acting is really good, like strangely good in certain cases. And like visually it's shot very well. There's a lot of tricks that you do with the camera to kind of make the audience feel a little uncomfortable, which is where I was hoping it would go a little bit more because I wanted more scares. But that being said, the story in and of itself is really, really good. I could see it being an awesome book, hands down, and awesome. It's one of those things where like it's written like a book and they show it like a book, so it's stretched out in places. Every character is developed really well to the point of being annoying. But the end pays off so well that, yeah, I think your time is worth your time spent. So,
That sounds good.
I recommend watching it. Do not watch it if you think it's going to be scary. If you're looking for scares, if you're looking for horror, do not. If you're looking for a solid story, like bedtime, solid, you're gonna you remember this years to come type of story, then I think you should check it out.
Okay.
But yeah, with that being said, we appreciate you. And actually, I'm not supposed to be doing the closing tesses, so I'm gonna
Oh,
slide her away.
well, I mean, we can switch roles.
I can't do the bye-bye right. I can't get that. I can't hit that note. You know what I'm saying?
We appreciate you. Say it after me. We
We
appreciate
appreciate
you.
you.
We love
We
you.
love you.
Stay
Stay
safe.
safe.
Wash your hands.
And your butt.
And your butts. But for real, y'all, wear your masks. Be safe out there. This resurgence of corona is no joke. Don't think it's a hoax. Don't, like, for real, do wear your masks all the time. It's really important. I know that there were some corona scares where I'm employed. So, like, wear your masks, people. For real, like, just be smart. If you need fresh air, go outside, get some fresh air when the wind is blowing, whatever. But hey, for real, y'all. Be careful with these open air seating, these restaurants. I know a lot of people think, oh, I'm outside, the wind is blowing, whatever, we're good. A lot of these open air restaurants, I mean, these seating areas, people still are too close.
Yeah,
And it's
yeah.
not like these are really, really small microns, okay, this coronavirus, and people don't know they have it. So the fact is, you are not wearing a mask and you still are within a certain amount of feet from another person, it is still possible to spread the virus. It really, really is. So just honestly, people just be a little bit more thoughtful and kind of look at everybody like they have it. So please wear your mask. Please don't do these stupid birthday parties.
Where were you last night, Bob?
Paint,
Don't touch me.
Hashtag bye, Tiffany.
That caught me off guard. I'm sorry.
real though, everybody, we do love you, we care, so be a great person, be a human, love your neighbors, wear your mask, wash your face, wash your butts. Have a great night. We hope to see you next week. And that's really it. Hermione, say goodbye since you want to be all up in the tea. She's not saying goodbye tonight, but she's here. She says goodbye. Goodbye.